forward to that day. You can be seated tonight. As we enter into this new year, I spent the last month or so, I believe, preaching and teaching on getting out of our comfort zone and stepping into the deep. And it's a place that sometimes it's a little challenging for some of us, but I would like to take, and as we go into this new year, present this as our challenge. And I guess if we went all the way back to the General Conference back in October, our Bishop, Brother David Bernard, spoke about taking action, that this would be a year of action for the United Pentecostal Church International. And our district superintendent, if you come in and you notice on the doors coming in, there's a theme there. Our district superintendent, Brother Putnam, along with the district board, selected our theme for 2017 to be Go Forth and Take Action. I believe that this year, for the Church of the Jesus Name, the Apostolic Church is being moved into our final position. I believe that. A position for empowerment. God desires to empower His church, positioning to equip His church, positioning to engage His church. And this year we have chosen as our theme, and we'll get into that as our fast winds down toward the end of this month. Our theme for this year is empowerment, equip, and engage. But we need to empower for action, equip for action, and engage in action. And as we enter into this new season, into a new dimension in Christ Jesus, it is a journey that we must all commit to. For we are one body, united in Christ for one purpose. And as we continue on this 21-day fast, I want to encourage you to reach up, to step out and challenge yourself, as well as a challenge for your families. Don't just let this be a time where mom and dad skip the dinner table. Take this time as a teaching tool for your children. Your children need to grow in God as well. Your children need to mature in the Word as well. Let God lead you. Let God direct you. Let God challenge you to seek out His will and His purpose for your life. I'm 100% conceived. I'm 100% positively positive on this. That if we do not pray, if we do not converse with God on a consistent basis, now listen, how many of you are taking notes? How many of you note takers out there? How many of you went and bought a journal? One of the sisters in the church bought me a journal, and I thank you, Sister Lenora bought me one for the year, and I'm so appreciative of that. But get a journal, take some notes, and go back and review those notes. But I'm 100% convinced that if we do not pray, if we do not converse with God on a consistent basis, and this is so very important, if we want to seek God's will for our lives, we got to talk to Him. You got to talk to Him. It's not any different than sitting down with a guidance counselor at high school or in college, or sitting down with your parents, or sitting down with someone in your life that is a mentor in your life and said, give me some advice. Sit down with God and talk to God. I have a series coming up. We're going to approach it maybe this weekend, but it's on prayer. And sometimes we get prayer. Sometimes we think that we have to pray all night long in order to get God's attention. If you just sit down with Him every day, even numerous times a day, and just converse with Him, prayer is just nothing more than conversation with God. Now, there are different levels of prayer. Just like as a husband and a wife, and I'm getting off my notes here, but as a husband and a wife, my wife and I converse different ways. If we're driving down the road and the window's open and we're driving in our Jeep, that sometimes we drive around without the top on it, if I want to talk to her, I can't talk to her the way I'm talking right now because the wind is too noisy. you're going to have to yell out a little bit louder. There are times maybe when you're at night and the lights are off and you're sleeping and you wake up in the middle of the night, you don't wake up in the middle of the night and scream out, "Man, am I thirsty!" Your wife would probably jump right through the roof. My wife would jump up and hit the ceiling fan. No! There are times when you cry out in desperation, right? But then there are times you just have a simple conversation with God, just like we're talking right here. And if we can just get in a habit of doing that over these next 21 days, it will become ingrained in us, will become part of us. And then when you need to go before God, it's not such a fight and such a struggle and such a challenge, because you already have learned through this 21-day process how to talk with God and actually how to hear back from Him. Finding your purpose starts with developing a relationship with the God of that purpose. We've been, over the last few weeks, going over some very key principles found in God's Word, principles to live by, principles to love by, and principles, if we must, principles to die by. Last Wednesday night, we started a two-part series. I titled this, Into the Deep, Finding Faith Beyond Our Comfort Zone. And I'd like to finish the part two of this from last week. Our scripture, the topic, enlarging your boundaries, preparing the ground. We had a Bible study, or a Bible series verse found in the book of Isaiah, and that's Isaiah 54, chapters 2 and 3. I'd like to read that for you. It says, "Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out your curtains. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For ye shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants shall inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." As we start out of this series, part one, we spoke on being prepared to shift from emotion to principle, because so many things we do in our lives are based around emotion. And God is not a God of emotion. God is a God of principle. Okay, so being principally driven, not emotionally driven. We covered what caused the Israelites to fail in entering into the promised land. They didn't believe they could take it. We talked about unbelief. We talked about sin, Israelites' failure to resist sin. We went into Numbers 14, 27 through 45, Hebrews 3, 8 through 13, and then verse 17. We talked about fear. So many times we're afraid to step out. And we talked in Numbers 13, 26 through 33. Listen, church, we should be constantly growing and changing in our spiritual life. We should be maturing. We should be becoming more like Christ. In that maturing process, there are times when we are given new spiritual assignments. I call these spiritual assignments. You can call them new spiritual ministries, new opportunities, whatever you determine you want to call them. But I believe that these principles that are found in the Word of God will help us as we go into our next level, into this new year, this new spiritual assignment that God has in store for all of us. God has something for every one of us here, even though what my spiritual assignment for this next year may be much different than Matthew Moran's, or may be much different than Felicia Pendleton's. But the bottom line is God has a purpose and a place that He wants all of us to go. And all of us understand we all play a very important role in that process. You may be the lug nuts that hold on the tire, that hold on the tire to the rim or the hub of the car, and somebody else may be the drive shaft. Someone else may be the universal joints that hold the drive shaft together. Somebody may be the windshield wiper. Some of you may be the windshield wiper fluid. I don't know, but we're all in this together. And if you understand that your role is crucial in the process that God wants to take this church too. God is shifting his people. God is shifting you, and he's shifting me into our next assignments. Everywhere I look around the globe, I can see as I get reports almost daily from the missionaries, and they send emails about revivals that is happening. God is moving his church. He's moving his people, and we have to be ready for that. We're going to be ready for that. He is doing this so his kingdom can be established and increased in every sphere and every society on this earth. In the midst of this transition, you may have many questions and you may have many moments of uncertainty. But understand, you can be sure that you have everything that you need to move to your next level. You've got enough with you right now to make the shift in getting ready to move on or move up. We started with 10 steps last week, and we got through 2 of those 10 steps. We talked about, as we transition into this year, we talked about we needed to be convinced of the call. So if God has called you in any level of ministry, whatever that level of ministry may be, you have to be convinced that God called you. You have to, and don't rely. We talked about relying on prophetic words. Don't rely on prophetic words alone. Prophetic words should confirm something that you're already praying about. And we're going to start off tonight with point 3 of our 10 points, and that is consider how God has used you in the past. You see, God, everything God does, I'm just learning so much as we go through these lessons myself. Everything God does is built upon itself. It's all based upon the Word of God. It's all based upon various principles that are found in the Word of God. But God is a God of process. We've talked about this so much, process and principle. And everything builds upon itself. Okay, so consider how God has used you in the past. When you are moving on and moving up, God will build on your past experiences. So make sure that you position or are positioned to allow your past to propel you into your future. See what your past involvement and experiences are. I can only use myself as an example because I've only lived my life. I started out in the nursery classroom, and I used that experience. Everything I could learn, I learned. And then I moved up to junior high. And everything I learned from junior high, I took with me as I began to progress on this upward ladder that God has us on. We're going to go upward. That's our point, is to go from where we are now and we continue to go up. It's not like a corporate ladder. It's a God ladder. It's a God thing. It's not the corporation you work for. It's not GM. It's not Oscar Mayer. It's not IBM. It's not Apple. It's God's corporate ladder. And you serve a purpose in that. So on the training grounds, we need to view those experiences as places where God has been working to prepare you for where he desires to take you. Understand something with God. God's not going to start you out as the bishop of Calvary Gospel Church. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't. So if you're thinking right now, I'm working and I'm doing my best at what I'm doing, and maybe it's something that is lower. We have steps to ministry. Those steps to ministry are laid out and planned for a process of your life so you can grow from where you start off in God at salvation. You can grow all the way up. And I want to tell you, the sky's the limit. You can become whatever you want to be in God. Whatever you want to be in God. Don't hunt for position. Don't hunt for power. Just do whatever God asks you to do at whatever level you are in. When we look at Israel, when we look at Egypt, I've learned so much about the process of Egypt. When we look at this, Egypt was a teaching level for the Israelites. It was a training ground for them as a nation. You have to go all the way back to the beginning before they were even a nation, when Jacob was going to take his family down to Egypt to join up with Joseph, and he stopped, I believe, at Gilgal, and he prayed, and he said, God, is this the right thing to do? He was nervous about this. And God spoke to him and said, go into Egypt, for there in Egypt will I make a great nation out of thee. They didn't go in great. They didn't go in builders. They didn't go in knowing how to lay bricks and mortar and have all of the skills for roads and bridges and all of that thing, all of the warfare and all of that. They went in as 70 people with a bunch of goats and sheep and cattle. You see, but God promised them. God promised them, just as God has a promise for you and I, but we have to stick to God's process. This evening, failures. Sometimes we've been through all kinds of failures, and I spoke of that on Sunday night, and there's failures that bring disappointment and pain. But understand, a lot of times those failures and that pain that we go through are preparation rooms for where God is wanting to take us. We see those failures eventually. Understand, we may have disappointment and pain, but eventually you will draw fresh water from the wells of your experiences and see what God has used your past to prepare you. So embrace your past when it comes to your walk with God. But understand, be content where He has you right now. Okay? Paul writes to the church in Philippians 4:1, it says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content. Okay, was he talking about just being content in the gospel and content? And no, he was saying that every step of the way that God has brought me, I have learned to be content in that step. You see, but what happens is a lot of times we want to move ahead. We want to jump forward. We think we're ready, and we want to take that next step. And a lot of times, because we don't wait on God, because we don't have patience, we jump ahead of God. And sometimes we mess up. So move on. Move on only when God moves you forward. Number four, determine how you must change. Oh, I don't like change sometimes. I don't. I'm sorry. I like getting up in the morning, and I like a routine, and I like to come to church and everything be a routine. And how many of you like that? How many of you like getting up in the morning and every morning it's totally different? We're all pretty much, we like our coffee from Starbucks. You know, we like our McDonald's McMuffin. We do all of these routines every morning. We walk out, and if you were to look at your life and write down everything you do every day, by the end of the week, you would say, wow, I'm kind of in a rut. But you see, we have to determine how we must change. Listen, when God begins to shift, He will begin to shift you from one assignment to the other, and you will go through a process of preparation. And a great deal of preparation will have taken place through the experiences that God has given to you. But now, as you sense His leading, you to the next level. You begin to discern specifics about his new assignment. That's where prayer comes in. That's where communication with God comes in, because you're never going to know what you are to do next if you don't ask him. And if you ask him and he says, you need to fulfill this, 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 and this, then just do it. It amazes me sometimes, Brother Hawk. When I worked on a secular job and my boss says, you got to do this, 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 and this, I did this, 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 and this. I didn't always agree with it. I didn't always like it, but I did it. But here, when God is trying to move in our lives and we're asking him to move in our lives and he says, but you need to do this, 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 and this, and we say, oh, God, I don't want to do that. What about this? He didn't have to do this. How come I got to do this? And we argue with God. We're laughing about it because we've been there. But God, the preparation, you will enter into a different kind of preparation. And the new level of preparation, what God is preparing you for, is not always based upon everything in your past. So you must take place at the present level that you're in. I don't want to be confusing on that. So that what I'm saying there is where God is trying to take you. So if God is trying to take Matthew Moran from point A to point B, thanks for sitting on the front, Brother Matt. You get picked on a lot. I appreciate that. I'll get you a Culver's gift card or something at the end of this fast for letting me pick on you. You could take both of us. We can both go. You see, this preparation where God is preparing you right now, it's not based on your past, but must take place in your present. Sometimes we look at the past, we look at our past preparation, and God uses things in the past to prepare us for where we're going in the future, but sometimes we just skip the present because we look at the past and we look at where we want to go, and God's saying, but what about right here and right now? What about today? What about what I have for you right now? And listen, some of the most frustrating moments in my ministry, at times in my life where God has been preparing me for what is to come, and it's so easy to become impatient and force the process because I'm not happy with where I am today. It's so easy to become impatient. So let God be in charge. Let God deal with the changes. It will involve practical changes in your life. Very seldom will God just pluck you right up and blow you across the continent like he did Philip. He's the only guy I know that got plucked up in a whirlwind and blown across the country to meet up with someone. Now, if God chooses to do that, that will be awesome. You will have quite the story to tell. But most of the changes that God makes in our lives are slow, methodical, principled changes. And we want everything to be right now. Right now, God. I'm ready to preach right now. I'm ready to get married right now. I'm ready for this right now. We want everything now. It'll involve practical changes you need to make in your life to embrace the new season that God has for you. I want to make sure that you know that moving into a new level in God or embracing a new assignment from him, it's not only a spiritual exercise, but many times people think that they will be prepared for a new assignment if they pray more, if they worship more, and if they read the Bible more regularly. These disciplines are important. Important. They're the groundwork in times of transition, but there's also natural components that come into play. Not everything that God wants to change in us is in the spiritual. God wants sometimes to change some things in our physical, like maybe bad habits that we have. They're natural components to the changes God will bring into your life as he moves you forward. Moving to your next level will impact every area of your life, so be ready to be equipped. because God will equip you with whatever you need in the present to get you to your future. That's why the past is important. We cannot overlook the present, because the present is a building block or a launching pad into your future. That makes sense to everyone? Does that make sense? That's just good principles. Okay, number five is commit to overcoming the opposition. You have to commit to win this thing. You have to commit to this. When God begins to move you, God begins to move us as we go through these next 21 days into a new level, we are going to encounter all types of opposition. It's going to happen. As he moves us forward, the devil wants nothing more than to move you backwards, or at least cause you to stay right where you are. If he can keep you in a backwards motion or keep you just where you are, in 21 days, you will be in the dust, because the church will continue to move forward. As he moves forward, he wants you to move backwards. That's why getting out of our comfort zone is one of the first steps in this process. The devil will begin to fill your head with all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of feelings that are designed to hold you back. So let me encourage you tonight, commit to overcoming any opposition that will come against you. And do not expect this next transition in our lives to be an easy transition. We must know that the changes will have challenges, and will make a very proactive decision to emerge victorious in this. By God's grace, in every way, in every area of your life, we will come through victorious in this process. One of the greatest barriers to moving forward to the new next level that God has is being too comfortable functioning where we are, and comfort is a killer when it comes to moving forward in God. You may want something different. You may be looking for something different, seeking God for that something different in your life. But when you move into that something different, you will soon realize that this new assignment that God has in store for you has little to no respect whatsoever of your comfort zone. God is going to get in there if you allow him, and he is going to mess with you. He's going to mess with your mind, going to mess with your heart. He's going to mess everything up to get you to where he wants you to go, if you fight him. But it's not always a mess. Sometimes it's perfect, because you pray, because you fast, and because you commit. And when those changes come, it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful experience. Listen, moving up in God is not like a root canal. But it can be if you fight him every step of the way. You see, in these next 21 days, I'm praying that God will stretch us out, that God will challenge us like he's never challenged us before, to push us where we have become uncomfortable, and he is seeking to propel us into our divine purpose for his kingdom. But understand one thing, God will not force you to embrace anything new. If you sit right here in 21 days or in 3 months or 6 months, a whole year can go by, and if you say, God, I'm not moving, you'll stay right exactly where you are. And you'll find out after a while, you say, boy, this doesn't even seem like my church anymore. Why is everybody changed? No, everybody's changed, all right. You just haven't changed. You see, he's not going to force you. Any form of discomfort, I feel, is worth overcoming in order to say yes to the next great thing that God has for us. Point number six is building mentoring relationships. I talked about this earlier a month or so ago. I remember early in my ministry, years ago, feeling at times very alone in ministry. And talking to friends and others that are in my generation, you know, thought that, well, I'll just do it. Just do it. You know, if I don't succeed, then was I really called from God? You know, we have all these questions that go through our minds at times, and sometimes they're legitimate questions. You know, God, I felt this is what you wanted me to do, and I didn't succeed, and if I failed, well, maybe God didn't call me after all. And that was kind of part of my struggle that I went through, and if any of you are struggling with that tonight, listen, just stay true to the course. Just stay true. You're going to have, just as we spoke on, you're going to have times where you're going to doubt, you're going to be frustrated. Just keep pushing. Just keep going. That was my struggle. And we thought that, you know, our generation, or some of my buddies that we grew up, you know, we thought that, you know, asking for help was a sign of weakness. And after all, we grew up in this, and we grew up in a pastor's home, and we should know it above all. And I got to where sometimes when I didn't have answers for Bible questions, we didn't have Google and all that kind of stuff to quick look things up. I just stopped asking, because I can't tell you how many times when I ask questions from various individuals, I was told, well, man, you ought to know that. You grew up in a pastor's home. Well, I didn't know everything. I just didn't. I was out there drawing notes and passing notes, and we'd have been texting to our friends and playing games if we would have had all of that back then, but I just didn't always pay attention. And I didn't know, and we thought that, well, we'll just approach this new approach, and this new kind of thinking was kind of fake it till you make it. And it's a very, very dangerous road to go down. You see, this kind of approach is this fake it till you make it approach, and I thank God that we can now all take a new approach that says, if I align myself properly in right relationships with people, that God will help me release me into my destiny that he has for me. And that's when I found out that I cannot do this on my own. I can't do this by myself. I need people, friends, whoever it may be, that I can take and align myself with. And that's where a mentoring relationship with one another becomes so very important. When you're aligned with someone in this way, the relationship will keep you from feeling alone and thinking that you got to figure this all out for yourself. It's a whole lot better than fake it till you make it. You see, whether you want mentoring in your ministry or even in your profession, whatever you're involved in on your secular job, or whether you need a mentor in some area of your personal life, especially in ministry settings, having a mentor to walk with you and help you and mature you in ministry will allow that when you do fail, there is a godly mentor in your life that is there reassuring you that the call that you have on your life is a godly call. This was so very crucial in my life. It will help you to learn from your mistakes. So many times we make mistakes and we don't even realize that we make mistakes. If we walk with someone who has that experience, who has that wisdom, who has that ability to help you grow and develop, properly align yourself with that mentor in your life. Not only is it a great source of guidance and support, it's crucial to the fulfillment of your destiny, and it's vital to your support, and it's vital in getting you to your next level. But you got to understand, your mentor is not your buddy. Okay? He has to be someone who is willing and must also be willing, you must also be willing to allow this person to speak into your life, whether sometimes you like it or sometimes you don't like it. You have to allow them and trust them to speak into your life what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I'm so thankful for the mentors that I have had in my life and I continue to have in my life. I can call my father, my bishop. I could call him any day. I've called him many times past midnight saying, Dad, I got something that's bothered me. How would you deal with this? I'm so thankful for to be able to have that level of mentorship in my life. I have a number of other people that I allow to speak into my life. I have pastors. There are people in this church that speak into my life that I allow them and I trust them to speak into my life. Hey, I want to know if I'm going astray. Sometimes, you know, we can get funny things in our heads and our pride can get the best of us. And, you know, I've told Brother Rossing, Brother Rossing, I give you permission if I ever get out of line, have that conversation with me. Why? Because I trust him. I trust him. I didn't say that to embarrass him, but I say that because I trust him. Number seven, we must be prepared for increased spiritual attacks. You see, the more we move into God's desired purposes for our life, we must understand the more effective that we become for him, the more of a threat we are to the enemy. The more you proceed and the more you fulfill your divine purpose and calling that God has called you to do, the bigger of a threat and the bigger of a target you will become to the enemy. We must know that Jesus came here to earth to destroy the works of Satan. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We can assure that victory in every situation when we read 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh the Savior of this knowledge by us in every place. But you see, we may triumph in him, but understand triumph. The only way you can triumph in battle is you have to fight a battle to become triumphant in a battle. And being triumph does not eliminate the fight, because there will always be warfare. We have an enemy and we are engaged in a spiritual war, and we must fight that. And the attacks of our opposition will intensify as we move from level to level to level. When we look at Paul, as he grew in God, he became more powerful in God, and as a result, his attacks increased. Whenever we embrace a new season in our life or take on a new spiritual assignment, warfare will always follow. Why is that? It's because the enemy wants to stop us from doing what we have been called to do, and that is to advance the kingdom of God. Listen, I can't see angels. They may be all around here. I can't see. Maybe you've been given that ability. I haven't seen an angel yet. I haven't seen a demon other than in a dream. But I know they're out there. And I can't help but think, because we're fighting, Bishop, a spiritual warfare, that the more angels that show up around us, that's drawing attention. And the enemy can see what God is trying to do through us. And he's going to counterattack. We have to adjust to the level of warfare we have experienced in our current circumstances. That's why it's so important. You don't jump ahead of God, because you're jumping ahead of your protection. God says, I've got you covered. I've got you protected right here. But you want to get out and you want to jump ahead over there? You're jumping out of my protection. Just be patient, because the enemy wants to stop us from doing what we are called to do. New battles require new strategies, but our basic equipment always remains the same. And this is the thing I love so much about Ephesians. When we read in Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 18, our armor that we have been given the weapon of His Word, the power of the Spirit, and the reinforcement of our brothers and sisters. We need to use everything that's available to us as a Christian. And though attacks will it come, they're going to come. We will overcome with God's help. You see, as we grow, understand, as we grow, our armor stays the same, but what changes is we become more proficient in how we use our armor. That's awesome. That means that if you're just baptized and you've just received the Holy Ghost, you've got the same weaponry that I have. You've got the same weaponry that Bishop has. You've got the same weaponry that Paul has. What's the difference is as you grow, you learn how to use that weaponry better and more proficient. And we can use it in a more spiritually lethal way against the enemy. Number eight, accept acceptance. Once you're convinced that God has called you into your next level of ministry and you truly step into it, you're going to begin to feel the responsibility and the authority at that level. I have to be honest with you. When we first had this transition, I didn't feel it right at first. I had a pastor call me and said, oh, you're going to feel that mantle. You're going to feel that. It's going to fall on you. And I went away and I'm like, well, something must be wrong with me because I don't feel anything. I prayed about it and said, God, is there something wrong with me? But as time began to go on, I began to feel the responsibility as well as I began to feel the spiritual authority of the position where God has placed me in at this level. You will sense an anointing and a grace from God to do what you're supposed to be doing in your new season that God has called you into. As you begin to settle into your new place, you must resist the temptation to be shy. You can't be sheepish. You can't be apologetic. You got to face it, and you got to face it with some spiritual guts. Because God is saying, listen, where I'm preparing you and where I'm calling you, you got to have some intestinal fortitude to stand up for what's right. When right is right, and stand up and call it. If wrong is wrong, you've got to be able to determine the difference between right and wrong and what is sin and what is not. Be gracious. Don't let false humility creep into your thoughts or into your conversation, and be humble. Be genuinely humble. A generally humble person will accept and acknowledge what God has done in their life. You won't hear it say a lot of, well, I did this and I did that, and because I did this and because I did that. It's what God has done. What God has done. If you want to live in true humility, you don't have to explain away God's work in your life. Instead, be honest about what He is doing. Admit your need for His grace and His mercy and give Him the glory without being boastful, pious, or having a proud spirit. God calls and anoints certain people for certain roles and tasks according to His wisdom and His knowledge. And when the time comes for Him to move you into whatever level or whatever position, you must be aware that you are being released. And you can now flow in God without any formal limitations. I think that's where the apostles, where Peter got to that point and Paul got to that point, that they were able to fluidly flow in the Spirit of God without any kind of limitations in their lives. And I pray that God would release us this year to where that we would be able to flow in His Spirit. We would be able to take when we're on our jobs or when we're on a hospital call or we're in a Bible study or we're pumping our gas, that we would be so fluid in the power and the presence of God that we would be able to flow from gas pump to gas pump and from store to store wherever God leads us. And that His presence would be felt in such a powerful way. And it's not us, but it's Him that works within us. We have to trust His wisdom. We have to follow His lead. And your confidence and our anointing, it will continue to increase. But we cannot become proud. But neither should we deny who God has designed us to be. We are designed to be a light, a salvation station in a very dark, dark world. Number 9, remember that transition. Oh, it takes time. It takes time, folks. Successful transition does not happen quickly. And for you getting to your next level and me getting to my next level, you may go through level 1, 2, 3 much faster than you go through level 4 because of what God is trying to do in your life at that various level. Don't try to change things for yourself too quickly, or don't rush ahead of God's timing. Listen, God has designed change to be a process. It is not an event. This change that He's taking, that's taking place in our lives, it's a process that we go through. It's not an event that we get to. And remember that His timing is perfect. He works diligently and deliberately and more slowly than we might want to think. Yes, there are times where God answers rapidly and fast. But when it comes to developing people, developing individuals, the process is slow. It's frustrating sometimes. But if we allow it in our lives, it will bring great joy and fulfillment if we will patiently cooperate with it. You see, like the Israelites, we ourselves are on a journey towards a full possession of His promises for us. But we will face opposition as we go. But God has the same strategy for victory in your life as He had for the Israelites. So many years ago, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, and I added process upon process and principle upon principle. Listen, you will get where He wants you to go one step at a time, one day at a time, and one victory at a time. And our last step, step number 10, is a step that we cannot afford to stumble on. And that is, we must move forward with bold faith. We must move forward with bold faith. Anytime that God is shifting from one level to the next, there comes a point in time when you must simply go for it. You've got to make that plunge. You've got to make that jump. Whatever God is calling you into, you have to make that step. This is a point that is beyond your commitment. It's a point past making a firm decision to move forward. It is a point at which you actually put one foot in front of the other and you take the critical steps that will solidify you as you move into your new season or position with God. This is a point in which faith springs into action and becomes more alive than ever before. God's way is a faith way, and you can know all kinds of the concepts and you can know all kinds of the principles, but without faith, without bold faith, you will never take that step to achieve all that God has purposed for us. I believe Jesus is saying to us tonight, come on, Calvary Gospel Church. Come on, church. Take that step of bold faith. Step into it. Step into it boldly. Aggressively. If you can stand to your feet and if our praise teams can come, I believe God is saying, I'm ready and I'm waiting to walk with you because God is always faithful. He's faithful to finish the work that he has begun in us. I love Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus, of Jesus Christ. God is saying, move on, move up, and I'll meet you at your next level. I believe that God is challenging us, church. And tonight, what I'm asking of each and every one of us is, are we willing to take and say, God, I'm ready. I'm desiring. I'm wanting. So, Lord, whatever you got to do to rattle my cage, to mess up my flowers, whatever you got to do to mess up my life, whatever you got to change, whatever I'm fighting, God, I want to move forward. I want to move forward. I want to see the day that when every last saint of God at Calvary Gospel Church is living the dream that God has called them to live, is living within their purpose, is living. There's nothing more fulfilling than knowing you are where you are supposed to be. And there's nothing more frustrating than not knowing where that supposed to be point is. So tonight, can we come down and can we make a commitment? I know we're into this fast. We're into it 3 days now. We've got a long way to go. We got a long way ahead of us. But boy, I'm here to tell you, a lot can happen. A lot can happen in 18 more days. A lot can change in your life if you're willing to allow God to change that.